I called the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
Hold on, ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Air Force. No
yo. Welcome back to The Fix, the realest and the blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. Brought to you all the way from the five by yours truly, Joseph Ward, right here on the Freedom Train Network, where it go down every day. Almost every day, something live go down on the network. www.freedomtrainradio.com. Hey, man. It's the last day of 2017, so you know we got to get it in today. But before we get too far into that, you know we got to do our little housekeeping, right? So as you know, The Fix is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants, and On the Shoulders of Giants brings you African history directly at your fingertips, so you can learn more about yourself, your past, your culture, and the diaspora, and all the great things that people of African descent have done within this world. So make sure you visit www.ontheshoulders1.com to learn more about the On the Shoulders of Giants blog, the books, the educational classes, the speaking engagements, the lectures that On the Shoulders of Giants does. There's an On the Shoulders of Giants YouTube channel. Go to youtube.com/ontheshoulders1. Follow On the Shoulders of Giants on Twitter and Instagram at ontheshoulders1. Go to the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit website at www.ontheshoulders.org, and that way, like I said, African history at your fingertips, done all the research for you. All you got to do is go and consume the information. Make sure you get the books. The On the Shoulders of Giants book series have volume 1, North America, and On the Shoulders of Giants volume 2, Central America, where they're profiling 10 unsung heroes of the African diaspora. So once again, www.ontheshoulders1.com, as well as www.ontheshoulders.org. It's going down December 31st, 2017. Hey, y'all remember 99 when they told us that Y2K was happening? Like all the power is going to shut down and the world is going to go back to, it gets retrograde and all that other bullshit, and we're going to go looking like one of them old post-apocalyptic 1980 movies, and right around everybody be dusty and shit. So that was 99. In 2012, we're supposed to die. Why they keep trying to kill the world, man? That's what I want. They keep trying to kill the world. But 2017, so one thing we are going to do is give a little review of, like, sports that happened, especially our champions, the people who won championships, the teams who won championships, the people who've made accomplishments. Not everybody, but, you know, we'll give a little short little review of things that happened. Now we're going to give you our HBCU spotlight today. Talk a little more about the Carolina Panthers and the little things that they got going on over there, because they keep fucking up. I want to talk about this NFL protest that the black community has been having in 2017 since it's the last day. Is it still happening? And what's been the results of it? One thing I want to talk about, too, for the black community is, do we really need sports in the black community as an option to get out? I know it's an option, but do we really need it? So we're going to explore it, because I want to be on both sides. We're going to explore it. I'm going to give you a review or a little roundup of what happened in college football from last week to this week. Definitely give you an update of what's going on in the NBA since football is winding down, so we might as well go ahead and start paying attention to the NBA. want to have a little debate with myself and others, but just have a little look at things. Because people keep talking about KD better than LeBron, and I'm like, man, KD ain't better than LeBron right now. KD ain't going to be better than LeBron, seems like, until LeBron retired. But I want to break down all these factors and things like that. As I say, give you the weekly review and give you my weekly rant aimed directly at the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, I got to give it to them. I got to give Dallas the business, man. That's my squad. And we ain't do what we supposed to do this year, so they got to get to business. But starting off, our HBCU spotlight. And this is actually an older story, but it's something that I did not know. So this story actually came out in August. I know it's December, but I did not know. But either way, it's still going to end up in my spotlight because it's my show. All right? So former Livingstone Blue Bear Cornera Hage helped to lead Team USA to a gold medal in the women's 4x400-meter relay at the IAAF World Championships in London. So in August, Cornera Hage, who is an alumnus of Livingstone University, she is a part of the Women's Olympic 4x400-meter relay team, and she do a whole bunch of other stuff. So let me read about her, by Cornera Hage. All right. It's her, Cornera Hage, Allison Felix, Shamika Wembley, and Phyllis Francis, won by the largest margin of victory in the World Championship history, male or female, to capture the first Team USA gold medal in the event since 2011. The United States won silver medals in 2013 to 2015. Hayes ran first leg for the team, for Team USA. The ladies finished with a time of 3 minutes, 19.2 seconds, followed by Great Britain was 3 minutes, 25 seconds, and Poland, 3 minutes, 25 seconds and 41 milliseconds, and that was in that London Stadium. So basically, they won by a distance of about 50 meters with their time, basically. The previous greatest margin of victory for the women's relay was Team USA over Jamaica in 2009 with 3 minutes and 3.2 seconds. So, three minutes and 32 seconds, excuse me. And the men's team was over Kenya in 93 with 5 minutes and 53 seconds. So Team USA posted the fastest time in the world this year. The previous best was Team USA's semifinal time of 3 minutes and 21 seconds and 66 milliseconds. Hayes was a four-time NCAA Division II champion at Livingstone College, and 400-meter medalist at last year's U.S. and World Indoor Championships. In June, she won the 400-meter sprint title and the 2017 USA Track and Field Outdoor Championship. She posted the fastest time in the event in the world at that point of a 49.72 seconds. Hayes is from Hope Mills, North Carolina, and that's most of the information that they give on Cornera Hage. But we just want to shine our spotlight on Cornera. You get the last spotlight of the year, Cornera, for balling out with Allison and your team, Allison, Shamika, and Phyllis, right? And wow, man, that time that they put, like that distance, that 50-meter distance, just that time and everything that they did. But Cornera actually just has a history of just balling out, just being live. That's just what she do. She was just born like that. She just wake up and just be live, step out the bed, just be live, just be best. So she put it down at Livingstone College, and then all that translated into her being a world champion, gold medal world champion for the USA women's track, for the USA track team, period. Just USA track team, period. Because they've done things that the men's track team hasn't done. She's out there just balling. So, Cornera Hage, one time for you, Cornera, from the Frick Sports Podcast and Joseph Ward over here at the Freedom Train Network. We want to show you some love, and we want to show you some love like we show everybody in the past, because it ain't just about football on this HBCU spotlight. It's about HBCU sports as a whole. So, Cornera, you go ahead and get your applause for my audience, that man in that little shirt, for going out there balling and doing your thing right here on this USA track thing. You know what I'm saying? One time for Cornera. Y'all stand up. Give it up. Give it up. Give it up. Don't hold nothing back. I see you holding back. Don't you hold back. Let it go. Let it go. One time for your mind, Primera. One time for your mind. Yes, yes, yes. Our HBCU spotlight. So this is our last HBCU spotlight of 2017. So we want to make sure that we take it out right. Now, I'm going to say this. I am going to say this since we're talking about HBCU spotlight. I want to see black sports get reported more and get reported better. There are limited outlets for specifically black sports, HBCU sports, and some of those outlets, the information is not in abundance or updated. So that needs to be fixed. Now I'm going ahead and just put that out there in the atmosphere. Hell, I might end up doing something about it myself, but just put that out there in the atmosphere. Like when it comes to sports, HBCU sports, it shouldn't be hard to find information on HBCU sports. We understand that we don't control the media, which is a problem because we need to be controlling the media, as much media as possible, and that's why this podcast right here exists. But the information needs to be out there so we can know about the greatness that we're doing in the realm of sports within the black community, right? Instead of stuff being kind of swept up under the rug, like if I don't live in Tennessee or Texas or something, I should be able to get online and find out what's going on in the college, you know, at the black colleges in these areas. So that's all. I'm just putting that out in the atmosphere, man. We just need more information and better information to keep information updated. Because I have to search harder to find my HBCU information than I do for the other information. And we're in the age of the World Wide Web. Net neutrality ain't kicked in yet. So it should be easier to find this stuff. That's all I'm going to say. About that. But one time for Quarnera Hayes, the women's 4x400 relay team, and man, just black magic, man. Just black girl magic. Just black girl magic, man. Do your thing. Just on the people, right? All right. So, last week I told you about the Carolina Panthers, Jerry Richardson selling the team, and I went into some on Cam Newton opening his mouth and speaking about the situation. So the Panthers just keep fucking up, right? Especially when it comes around to the Jerry Richardson situation, because people keep getting their personal feelings caught up, involved, rather than trying to make sure they get all the information. They're trying to straight ride for somebody that they don't know. Well, Jerry Richardson has a history of settling cases with sexual allegations. There are at least four cases on the record where Jerry settled out of court because of the allegations of sexual misconduct. So in this case, this specific case, like I told you last week, this is about more cases of sexual misconduct and a case of racism, because he basically had racist statements towards a black scout. But now, like I told you last week, you got Cam coming out saying that, you know, allegations. And Cam talk is trying to be a loyal member of the Panthers. But Cam, you have to understand, this is professional sports. You're a mercenary. And as a mercenary, you have no real allegiance to these teams and these people. You have to understand that, because these people have no real allegiance to you. Because when you can no longer benefit the Carolina Panthers or Ron Rivera, anybody in that organization or even in this league, they will throw you to the side. Or if they deem you undesirable, hence Colin Kaepernick, they will throw you to the side. So Cam Newton, take your damn cape off, like I told you last week. But before I get back to Cam, right? So Carolina Panthers coach Ron Rivera decides that in the locker room, after the game, the team's going to get a breakdown on Jerry Richardson. And if you don't know what that means, like, after the team has a game or before the game, or when you getting the information out, you're trying to inspire your team to get them to to go out there and do what they need to do, kind of, you know, handle their business. You have a breakdown, you bring everybody together, you break down on the chant of unity, right? And this chant of unity was Jerry Richardson. One, two, and then say, give me a break, give me a, let's break down Jerry Richardson on three. One, two, three, Jerry Richardson. You, why? And Ron, Riverboat Ron, is the one responsible for this breakdown. So, we read this information to you, right? Carolina Panthers head coach Ron Rivera defends his decision to lead a chant for the team's owner, Jerry Richardson, amid allegations of workplace misconduct against the 81-year-old Bulldog-looking motherfucker, right? I just added that Bulldog-looking motherfucker part. Okay. Including sexual harassment and using racial slurs toward an African-American scout. What I've always said is I know nothing about that. That's the first, this is Ron Rivera talking this. What I've always said is I know nothing about that. I can only speak for what he's been to me and the players. And that's what he said last Tuesday to the Charlotte Observer. And that's what I did. It was like, this is what I did. But you broke down, you had the man's name as a chant in your breakdown, which is a symbol of unity in the rallying cry for the team. He wants to break down on Jerry Richardson, but this fool accused of sexual assault. And understand that you don't know no information, but that's an even better reason for you to keep your damn mouth closed, though. Like, y'all just keep messing up over there in Carolina when it comes to this situation about these sexual assaults and things. It's like, it's not a good look, Ron. It's not. I'm not saying or insinuating that you are supporting sexual assault. I'm not saying that. Or even insinuating that you support sexual assault. Now, I am insinuating that you ride with Jerry Richardson. You are riding with Jerry Richardson. That's the reason for the chant. You like, hey man, this is my boss, this is my owner. I'm riding with Jerry Richardson. But in this, you can have your support for a person and not put yourself in a position to look stupid, right? Because you can be a person who supports Jerry Richardson as a person. But that don't mean you have to support Jerry Richardson in this fucking way, right? And so you can say, okay, I am a friend of Jerry Richardson. But that don't mean you got to go out and doing all this. And then Cam, these people don't really like you like that. You got to keep your mouth closed on these things, right? Stop trying to come to the defense of a person. First of all, this man has a history of being guilty. This man has a history of being guilty or perceived guilt, I should say. He has a history of perceived guilt because why did he have to settle out of court if he was innocent? I'm just saying. I can't prove he did nothing, but those out-of-court settlements, that don't help. Those things are saying, all right, well, Jerry, you had to do something with for you to have these out-of-court settlements. So what was going on in your life that you had settled with these women out of court to clear your name? Some fuckery. Let's just be real. So, in these cases, with you not having information about what's going on, with you not having that, you can't be like, well, I don't know what's going on, so I'm just going to say something anyway. Yeah, you're getting yourself in trouble when you're doing that, though. You're really getting yourself in trouble. I'm just going to speak my piece anyway because, you know, Jerry Richardson and all this. Dog, shut up, dog. Shut up. Like, you do not, and the rest of the players, I'd be like, man, I ain't breaking down on that, dog. I understand. And see, that's why I go so hard on these NFL players because they just follow us, man. I feel like football players from the beginning, we're taught to just be followers. You have to buy 100% into the system anyway and just be a follower. And if you're anybody who has your own mindset, then you're a cancer to the organization. And that stuff right there be bull. But I can't break down on Jerry Richardson because I don't know if he's guilty or not. And if, let's say Jerry Richardson is guilty, then we just broke down on a man who go around touching on people. To go around just doing what he want to do to people. We just broke down on that. So let's say he is guilty, right? Because if he is, that's what we just broke down on. But history says that he probably is guilty. That's what history says. We can't prove it. But history says that. So we can't really break down on Jerry Richardson. I don't care if he's the owner or not. I can't give you that. Man, first of all, man code. Just being a man. If you call yourself a man, like a real man code, like, I can't be doing that. I can't break down on Jerry Richardson because Jerry Richardson might be guilty. Jerry Richardson messed up. He shouldn't have messed up. If Jerry Richardson ain't wanna be portrayed like that, then you shouldn't have messed up. You shouldn't have done what you did. This is not about us trying to save somebody's feelings when it comes to this, right? If you didn't do it, you didn't do it. We're not going to try to make somebody guilty. Not on this show. That's not what we do on The Fix. We don't try to make somebody guilty. But what we do try to do is speak the facts, talk about the facts. And right now, we really don't know exactly what happened in this situation with Jerry Richardson. We don't. We don't know what exactly happened. But what we do know, like I'm going to keep saying, what we do know is that there is a history of Jerry Richardson having to pay off people because he was fucking up. I'm going to continue to say that Jerry is fucking up. So there is a history of him having a time paying off people. He had to pay people off, man. He had to pay people off. So we can't trust Jerry Richardson right now. We can't trust his words, actions. We can't trust Jerry Richardson around our puppies. None of that stuff, because he looked like a bulldog, so you can't trust him around your puppies, right? So let's just be looking at these things. But as men, though, man, we got to stop being NFL players, athletes, period, all these things. You got to stop being followers, man. We got to stop just being followers. Like, you don't know. You don't really know if this is what's really happened or not. You can't just be like, man, Jerry, my dog, man. So say, Jerry, my dog, you know what I'm saying? Jerry Anderson, you can ride with your dog and still stay true to what it is. You be like, yeah, Jerry, you my homie. You my homie, Jerry. And I mess with you. But in this one, I don't really know. I don't really know what you got going on. So I'm going to be neutral in this. You don't have to like me being neutral, but as your homeboy, I'm going to just be real. Since I don't have no evidence, I'm going to be neutral. Now, once I get more evidence, if the evidence says that you ain't doing nothing, I'm riding with you. But if the evidence says you messed up, I'm not riding with you as your homeboy, straight up. But what I'm not going to do is put myself in a position to look stupid behind you. I understand that there's a difference between actual actions and allegations. Allegations are statements that saying, hey, this person did something. Actual actions are the things that the person actually did. But we do have a history of Jerry Richardson having to pay people off because he did something. So we got him in an actual action boat, not in just an allegation boat. He's in an actual action boat right now. Because history. We can't prove it. But history. So y'all Carolina Panthers, man, y'all got to think about that. Like, at the end of the day, y'all more than just football players. I'm gonna keep telling athletes that. Like, at the end of the day, you're more than just athletes. You can do more than catch and run balls and tackle people and kick balls. You can do more than that. You have a brain between your ears, I hope, that you use, I hope. But what you can't do is go around supporting some fuckery or some bullshit from some dude, some old, especially y'all black dudes, or some old white dude who is only selling the team because of these allegations. These allegations when it came out, but he wouldn't be selling the team. So let's just be real about that, right? If these allegations when it came out, Jerry Richardson wouldn't be selling the team. So I don't want to beat a dead horse, continue whooping this dead horse's ass. But what I am saying is, as a man, at the end of the day, if you call yourself a man, a real man, if you're a real man and you stand up for what's right in this country, in this world, you're going to think before you do stuff. And even if your coach come to you and say, hey, we're going to break down on Jerry Richards, be like, hold up, coach. We don't know if Jerry guilty or not, coach. So we can't break down on Jerry Richards. We can break down on Carolina Panthers. Because we just came off this field winning this football game. We can break down on the Panthers, but we can't do a breakdown on Richardson. Nah, bitch. Hold up, Bear.
Right.
And that's all I got to say about that, man. That's all I got to say about that. So, next thing I want to talk about is, all right, black people. Let's be real about something. Let's get straight honest with ourselves about something. Because I'm pulling our card on this one. I'm pulling Black America's card on this one. Is the NFL protest still happening? Because I know I ain't watching football. I'm not turning the football on my TV. I'm not going to lie. I went to my brother's house last weekend, was hanging out at my brother's house, and football was on the TV. But in my house, I'm not watching football. And I want to know, because I've been saying it all year. Everybody who know me, I already know I like watching football. And I want to make sure that I'm not the only one who's still out here just not watching football. Because I ain't been hearing nothing else about nobody talking about taking no stand against the NFL. And like I've already told you in previous shows, and I keep telling you, it's not the stands that the black people are taking that's causing the NFL to lose money. It's the white people who are not watching football that is making the NFL lose money. The money that it was losing. Have they stabilized things or anything? I don't know. Have you heard anybody complain about the NFL? But what I do want to know is this call for the boycott in the NFL from the black community still happening? And if it's still happening, what have been our results so far? What has transpired from us taking a stand or not watching football? What has changed? What was different? What have we gained? Because that's my biggest question, because I feel like we haven't really gained anything. Kaepernick still don't have a job. They just paid out $89 million to Anquan Boldin, Malcolm Jenkins, and the other cats who was just still a part of that little NFL union that was put together to go to the commissions and go to the owners and talk about what's going on in the community. So basically, $89 million of hush money was given. $89 million to get your ass up from the protest money was given. Right? So what's really happening? What gains have we had? Because Cap still don't have a job. Black people still out here being killed by the police. Black people still getting terrorized by the police. And Cap still don't have a job. And people still are mad at black people for taking the knee. So what have we really gained by not watching football? What have we built during this time? And see, that's the thing that I see a lot of times from black America, is we love to take stands, but we don't build them. We don't build often. We don't build much. We don't do what we're supposed to do in making sure that we secure our own. Because we're like, just like last week, I was just talking about, just like last week, we went from, black people went from about to start our own league to where we just want to own the Carolina Panthers. I don't think we serious, I don't think black people be serious about making real change in this country. I don't. I really don't. I really don't think that we'd be really serious, because I think we'd be too worried about hurting white folk feelings. I do. I think we are too concerned about the feelings of white people to make real changes, because we dominate American sports outside of hockey. And put like this, sports people really give a damn about, we dominate, right? As far as the players, we dominate. But we don't dominate as far as the general managers, the presidents, the owners, coaches. NBA seems to be the most the most progressive, racially progressive league of all. Because they had one black owner, at least one black owner. And I know other black people own shares of some of the teams. I think Ward Dunn is the only black person that I've known to have had a piece of the team. I don't know if Ward Dunn still owns a piece of the Falcons, but I know at one point Ward Dunn owned a piece of the Falcons, but we know Arthur Blank still is the head owner, right? But we know Michael Jordan and NBA Michael Jordan owns the Charlotte Hornets. There are several other coaches and GMs and presidents and things in the NBA. So the NBA is a little more progressive, but the NFL, though, the NFL is pretty much still an old cracker-led league, right? So with the NFL being an old cracker-led league, what real gains have we had in saying, you know what, we're going to take these actions because we're looking for these results? Did we get the results that we were looking for? Did we? Like, that's a great question. Did we legitimately get the results that we were looking for when we set out to take this stance against the NFL? I'm all for not watching the game. Because not watching the NFL, I'm not getting on people who not watching the NFL. I just want to make sure I'm not the only one who's still not watching football. Right? Because if I'm the only one who's still not watching football, I'm going to be mad. Because black people have talked all this shit, and I'm the only one. So if I'm not the only one that's still not watching football, cool. Let's keep not watching football. Because not watching football is the same thing as like when you go into a store, right? And you go into the store, and the owners of the store decide to be nasty with you, decide to have an attitude with you. And then, if you're going to treat me like that, bitch, I ain't going to spend my money. I'm not, I swear I'm not going to spend my money with you if you're going to act like that with me. I swear I won't. You won't get none of this money, man. You're not getting none of this money. I swear you're not. So that's where I'm at with it, is us understanding our power and understanding where we are, but also understanding that there aren't enough black people who watch football as compared to white people who watch football for us to... Well, actually, I take that back. The majority of black people don't give a shit about not watching football. Let's just be real. The majority of black people are still watching football. I'm not getting on you if you are or if you aren't. All I'm going to say is, if you are still watching football and you still complain about the way the NFL treat black people, you crazy. If you're not watching football and you complain about the way the NFL is treating black people, then you get it. Because I don't have to support you if you're going to treat me and my people like shit. I don't have to support you. Kaepernick still don't have a job. What's this, week 17 in the NFL? This is the last week in the NFL. And Kaepernick still don't have a job. They haven't even really thought about giving Kaepernick. The Seattle Seahawks might have been the team that faked the most interest. The Seahawks and the Baltimore Ravens are the teams who faked the most interest in signing Colin Kaepernick. But as far as that, Kaepernick still don't have a job. And one of the reasons the knees were continued to be taken is in hopes of getting Kaepernick the job. One of the reasons we said we was going to stop watching football is in hopes of getting Kaepernick the job. But see, from the beginning, that was one of my issues. If we know the NFL full of shit, if we know the NFL full of shit, then it's not that we are going to just take away our views until Kaepernick get a job. We should take away our views, period. But I still say we need to start our own league. All black people need to divorce themselves from the NFL and do our own thing, because the money and the TVs will follow us. Because they don't, nobody, and I love when Skip Bayless say this. I love it because it's true. Nobody wants to see a bunch of white boys out there playing football, baseball, or basketball. Nobody. Nope, because once you've seen what black people do, you ain't going to sit up there and watch no white boys. Let's just be real. So if I'm the only one that's still watching football, or I'm in a small minority of people who still watch football, then that means Black America, we full of shit. And the reason why things continue to happen to us, because we continue to let it and not take a stand. So, yeah. That's all I want to say about that. That's all I want to say about that. So I'm going to move on, so I won't be on this all day. But, you know, that's how I feel about that. I feel like Black America, like, if we really want to make some real moves, you got to be real serious about real sacrifice. That's it. So my next topic, and it's kind of transition, and it's kind of similar to this, is sports has been a big part of Black life for a while. Football, baseball, basketball, track. But how much has sports really helped, truly helped to improve the conditions in our community? How have we used sports as Black people in America to help improve the conditions of our communities? Because in my opinion, we haven't used sports to improve the conditions of our community. We've used sports to improve the conditions of individuals within our community. And the greater community, the communities as a whole, still suck. They're still in bad conditions. And we have to get out of the habit of only... first of all, we got to get out of the habit of letting white America just continue to take our talent. We got to get out of that. We have to learn how to cultivate, keep, harvest, and nurture and grow our talent so our talent can help improve our community. Because, I mean, we talk about since the days of Jackie Robinson, since the days of integration, when Black people first started becoming a part of white sports. I know in baseball, Black people had our own league. Rube Foster. If you don't know who Rube Foster is, go to On the Shoulders of Giants website, type in Rube Foster, you can learn about Rube Foster, right? Rube Foster was the father of the Negro Leagues. One of the main men responsible for the creation of the Negro Leagues, right? So we know about Jackie Robinson. We know about the Black people who were the first in basketball and football and baseball and track and field and all these things here and hockey and all these whatevers. But how have these sports really help to improve our communities? Because when these players go to high school, these high schools, you have some of them that are still in our communities and some of them are not. And my hat goes off to the high schools, colleges, and things who are still in the Black communities, who still uplift and empower the Black communities. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but it doesn't happen enough. But I am saying professional sports don't do shit for our communities. I don't know what professional sports does to help improve the Black community. I don't know what sports period does to help to actually improve the community, because Black people, we know how to have a good time out of anything. But it's not just about having a good time. How has football, baseball, basketball, track and field actually really helped to improve the conditions of our community? Because I'm in the vein of thought is they haven't. They haven't really helped to improve the conditions of our community. They haven't. Our communities are getting worse. Now you have sections of people. You have individuals and families who may have had come-ups off of sports. But how has sports really helped to improve the Black community as a whole? I know here in Tallahassee, the athletes are taken out of the community. Right? So you see somebody like an Ernie Sims who is doing what he can to give back to the community. I give Ernie his props. Ernie Sims does what he can to give back to the community. And it's not just, let me not say that, because I don't want to sound like I'm taking shots at people, so I'm not going to say that. But I can say I see Ernie Sims often in the community doing things. But think about what I just said. I said Ernie Sims. I didn't say the NFL. I didn't even say Florida State. I said Ernie Sims. Hell, I didn't even say Florida A&M University. Right? I said Ernie Sims. I spoke about the individual. I didn't speak about the institution that he came from, that he benefited from. Right? Because we know that our people can benefit from sports as individuals. But how do we benefit from sports as a whole, as a group of people? Right? Because I'm going to keep saying that we haven't. We truly haven't. So I don't know. I want us to wake up. I want us to do better. I want us to expect more. I want us to hold these institutions more accountable. I want us to hold these people more accountable. If you want us to support you, then you have to come back and build up our communities. I know here in Tallahassee, our communities are going to be destroyed soon. And that's that bull. But how has sports actually help to improve our community? That's why I asked the question, do we really need sports? Now, on an individual level, I can say for me, on an individual level, sports probably kept me alive. Sports is probably one of the reasons why I'm alive and I'm not in prison. But that's just on the individual level. That's not for everybody, because I was just having a conversation with my homie at work the other day. And we talk, and I can have this conversation with black people all across the country about that one athlete who was the best in the area. But sports didn't save him. Because the idea behind it is good. The sentiment behind it is good, but the execution and everything, the way it goes about, because sports is about individuals. The way we use sports is to empower individuals, not our total communities. And I think because we use sports in that way, we end up losing in the long run. LeGarrette Blount came from Taylor County in Perry, but LeGarrette Blount can't save Perry by itself. Chris Thompson, the running back for the Washington Redskins, he's from Madison County. But Chris Thompson can't save Madison County by itself. Ernie Sims, William Gay, Antonio Cromartie, those guys are from Tallahassee. But they can't save Tallahassee by themselves. What is the NFL doing? What's the University of Louisville doing? What is Florida State University doing? Hell, what is FAMU doing? Like, we have all these sports realms and these sports mediums and these ways that individuals can get out. But we all know sports don't save them all. So what happened to the ones who don't get saved by sports? Right? Now, this is a two-way street. Black America has to learn another way to utilize sports to help ourselves. We do, because like I just said earlier, we use sports on an individual level, not on a communal level. And that's one of the reasons for that is we operate on an individual level and not a communal level. We don't operate as a community. We operate as individuals. And once we start operating as a community, I think that will help us get into the mindset of really being able to use sports, not being used by sports. Because right now we're the whores. Sports is the pimp. Sports rams are the pimps. The owners, the coaches, the scouts, all these people are the pimps in Black America. We're the prostitutes. We're getting holed out. That's what's happening. We're getting holed out. And that's an issue, because hoes don't win. Hoes don't make no money. Hoes make money for the pimps. That's where we at. We're getting holed out. Sports is not helping our community. It helps individuals, but not our community. And those individuals have to do a better job of putting themselves in a position of empowerment to be a better asset to the community. We do, and this is not, when I say this, I'm not taking no shots at no individuals, but we need more than just the football camps and the basketball camps and the baseball camps. We need more than that. I understand, because of your occupation, you cannot be in the community all the time. I understand that, but we need more than just the yearly camps. You're no better than the politicians who we talk about, who show up on the South Side, on the corner on the south side on South Adams and Orange Avenue between Hunger Howard's and the post office every 2 to 4 years to get elected. If you're from Tallahassee, you know exactly who I'm talking about. But that's the same vein and mindset in the same way they operate, though. Once once a year stuff has to stop because it's not helping our community get better, right? The end of the year, man, if we're going to start 2018, everybody keep telling me we're going to go into 2018, right? Hey, man, we got to call it like it is. Going into 2018, Black America needs to learn how to use sports better. We're being mined for all of our talent. Just straight mind, and we're just offering up our talent, offering up our children, just offering them up to our enemies, to white supremacists. Hey, take them and make as much money off them as you can, and give them a small percentage while the rest of the community suffers. We got to think about that. We got to look at this more from a communal level, on how we can use sports to better ourselves rather than sports just using the hell out of us. And that's all I got to say about that. All right, so now I want to transition to talk about some little college football. You know we are in the bowl season. It's bowl season now, so I want to give you some updates on college football bowl games that happened from last Sunday to today. And quite a number of games happened, and some good games happened. So I want to give you some stats and some, you know, just some updates on these games. So, last Sunday was the Hawaii Bowl with Fresno State against Houston. And Fresno State came out as the victors on top in the Hawaii Bowl with a 33-27 victory over the University of Houston. That leaves Fresno State, they ended the year at 10-4, and Houston ended the year at 7-5. And remember, Houston lost Tom Herman last year as he went to Texas. So, Houston went back to being Houston, basically. Tuesday, December 26th, it was the Zaxby's Heart of Dallas Bowl, which featured University of Utah and West Virginia University. And both teams ended the year 7-6, but Utah came out with the victory, a 30-14 victory over West Virginia, and basically Utah seemed like they was in control of most of the game. I'm surprised Willie G, Big Will Greer, didn't lead the Mountaineers to victory, but Utah obviously came out to play all three phases of the game, and they came out with the victory over West Virginia. So that's what it is. You got the Quick Lane Bowl. That also happened Tuesday. That was between Duke and Illinois, and Northern Illinois. And like Duke should have, they won 36-14. Duke, your ACC team. You may be a middle of the pack, bottom ACC team, or so bottom ACC team, but nevertheless, you're an ACC team, so we expect you to act like you're an ACC team, and you had better going out there and put that thing on Northern Illinois. So it was a 36-14 victory over Northern Illinois. So Duke finishes the season 7-6, Northern Illinois finishes the season 8-5 in the Quick Lane Bowl. I keep wanting to say Quickie Bowl. That just lets you know my mind is in the gutter and sex is on my mind at the end of the year. Because I keep talking about quickies, even though I don't want no quickie. I'm nasty. All right, so we also got the Cactus Bowl. You could have had the Trojan Condom Bowl. The Cactus Bowl, you could have did better than that. But anyway, the Cactus Bowl was between Kansas State and UCLA. So this is what? This is Kansas State is what? What conference is Kansas? Kansas State is all Big. This is all Pac-12, ain't it? This is all Pac-12 bowl game, ain't it? Kansas State. No. This Big 12 and this is Big 12 and Pac-12. Big 12 and Pac-12. So the Pac-12 lost, UCLA lost, and Kansas won. Kansas beat them. Kansas State, rather, excuse me, because Kansas is not going to be in a bowl game. Kansas State won. They had a 35-17 victory over UCLA. That put Kansas at 8-5 on the year, and UCLA at 6-7, and which ushers in the Chip Kelly era at UCLA. And I do expect UCLA to be better. I expect If UCLA won 6 games this year, I expect UCLA to win at least 9 to 10 games next year with Chip Kelly as their coach. Because Chip Kelly, as far as coaching in that West Coast shit, that's what he do. That's what he do, right? So Wednesday, this was the walk-ons Independence Bowl. I just think the name of this bowl game was so funny. But it was between Florida State University and Southern Miss. And Florida State being Florida State, they had better won. So Florida State dropped their nuts on Southern Miss and came out with a 42-13 victory. And Florida State looked good. And I heard a lot of people saying, well, Florida State finally looked good this year. Well, hell, they played Southern Miss. What you mean? Southern Miss, there was no reason for Southern Miss to even be in this game. Florida State talent-wise, I keep telling people, how the hell do you have one of the top recruiting classes over the last 5-6 years and expect Florida State to just have no talent? Florida State quit on the season. They quit. But they didn't quit in this bowl game. They didn't quit on Coach Odell Hagans. And they came out with a 42-13 victory. And moving into next year, Florida State will be under the leadership of Coach Willie Taggart. And Odell Hagans will be remaining on the staff as the defensive coach. Yes, sir. Next, it was the New Era Pinstripe Bowl between Boston College and Iowa. I expected Boston College to win this because they're ACC, but they couldn't hang on to win. They lost the game 20-27 to Iowa. And Iowa did their thing. They dropped their nuts on goddamn Boston College. So, hey, man, that's not helping the ACC's bowl record. And apparently the conference that has the best bowl record at the end will receive some kind of trophy. So, that's why you hear me saying, like I'm saying, these bowl games about conference pride for me. Then you have the Foster's Farm Bowl between Arizona and Purdue. And Purdue pulled out the victory 38-35 over Arizona. Purdue goes to ends the season at 7-6, as well as Arizona ends the season at 7-6. Moving on to the Academy Sports Outdoors Texas Bowl between Texas and Missouri. And I'm disappointed in Missouri being at SEC. Missouri lost 33-16 to Texas. And Texas is a team who's on their way. They have some talent, but not a lot. So Missouri should have won this game, being just because they're SEC. So Texas had 33-16 victory, which Texas ends the year at 7-6, and so does Missouri end this year at 7-6. Thursday we had Stanford and TCU, and this was a game that I think both teams needed, especially TCU. And TCU came out with the victory, 39-37 over Stanford. No, Stanford runs the ball. It's a hard fought in the trench game. TCU is the one team in the Big 12 who actually played defense most of the season, even though when TCU played teams who were better than them or had the same amount of talent, they did not necessarily show up as far as that defense like they were supposed to. So TCU does end the season with the victory. That puts them at 11-3, and Stanford puts them at 9-5 on the year. All right, then we have Washington State versus Michigan State, and Michigan State, like they should have, they beat Washington State 42-17. This is the San Diego County Credit Union Holiday Bowl, and that the final score is 42-17, Michigan State over Washington State. That puts Michigan State at 10-3, and Washington State at 9-4 on the year. Next, we have the Camping World Bowl between Oklahoma State and Virginia Tech. This game could have went either way, right? Because it's like almost the same school, right? Same talent, same way of playing, right? So Virginia Tech lost this game 21-30, and Oklahoma State ends the season at 10-3, Virginia Tech 9-4. It's basically like the same team, just in different conferences, right? 21-30 victory for Oklahoma State. Then you had Navy beat Virginia 49-7 in the Military Bowl presented by North Rock Group. Grooming. Military Bowl presented by Northrop Grooming. Okay. Then you had Friday. This was the game. This was a good game. This one that I was anxious to watch. Ohio State and USC. And Ohio State just looked better than USC out there. And Ohio State came with the 24-7 victory. That they end the season at 12-2. USC ends the season at 11-3. And this 24-7 victory, and USC just couldn't really get it going on Ohio State. I just felt like Ohio State had better athletes coming into this game. And Ohio State has that SEC pedigree coming from Urban because he went down and learned how to win. So you already know that. And so next we have the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl between Kentucky and Northwestern. And how the hell did Kentucky lose to Northwestern? Kentucky should be suspended from play next year because they lost to Northwestern. So that puts Kentucky at 7-3 on the year and Northwestern at 10-3. The score was 24-23. I don't give a damn if it's a 1 point. You're not supposed to lose to Northwestern, Kentucky. Y'all should be suspended from play next year. You make the SEC look bad. In the Hyundai Sun Bowl, we got NC State who romped Arizona State 52-31. NC State NC at 94. Arizona State NC at 76. Then Wake Forest defeats Texas. What's up, all these SEC schools losing, man? The SEC is not looking good in these bowl games. Wake Forest beat Texas A&M 55-52 in the Belk Bowl. Wake Forest ends the season at 8-5, Texas A&M at 7-6. And a game that ended in overtime over New Mexico State and Utah State in the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl, New Mexico State beat Utah State 26-20 in overtime. Last night's games, Wisconsin beat Miami 34-24 in the Capital One Orange Bowl. Wisconsin ended the season 13-1. Miami ended the season at 10-3. And Miami ended the season on a three-game losing streak. So what's up? Over the last couple of years, Miami, when they lose, they lose. And they lose in bunches. That's not good. So Mark Richt, you got to get it right. And Mark Richt should have been kicked out the game for going crazy and making contact with the referee last night. That's another thing, and I ain't going to spend too much time on that. Then we had the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl between Penn State and Washington, and Penn State came out with the victory 35-28 over the University of Washington. Penn State ends the year at 11-2, Washington at 10-3. Then we had Iowa State and Memphis in the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, and Iowa State came out with the victory, surprising. Iowa State would come out with that victory over Memphis because Memphis, I'm sure, has better athletes. But the score was 21-20. It was a one-point victory, and Memphis ends the season at 10-3, and Iowa ends the season at 8-5. Louisville lost to Mississippi State. So one time for Mississippi State getting a goddamn SEC win. Mississippi State beat Louisville 31-27. Lamar Jackson tried as much as he could, but he couldn't get his team to victory. So Louisville ends the season at 8-5. Mississippi State at 9-4, and that was the last bowl game of the day of the week. So we're looking forward to the Outback Bowl, the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, the Citrus Bowl, and the Rose Bowl, as well as the Sugar Bowl. Those games are coming up. So we have the Monday, January 1st, tomorrow, January 1st, we're going to have the Outback Bowl, we're going to have the Chick-fil-A Bowl, we're going to have the Citrus Bowl, we're going to have the Rose Bowl, we're going to have the Sugar Bowl. So all those games, expect a lot of good football going down tomorrow. January 1st, 2018 is going down. Can y'all believe this year went by faster than a bit, man. Faster than a bit, man. So next, I want to talk about a little NBA. Give you a little NBA update. Not spend too much time on this, but give you a little NBA update. Let you know where your team at, what's going on. You know, we're really not going to get deep into this NBA until after the All-Star break. Because NBA season really don't start after the All-Star break. But I do want to let you know where your team at and what's going on. So last week, I kind of gave you leaders and things as far as individual players. But now we're going to talk about the teams because these conferences, because we're looking up, things are starting to shape up. We're starting to see where the teams end up. So right now in the Eastern Conference, we're going to start with that because it's perceived as the weaker conference. But we're going to see. Right now, this is the conference standings, 1 through 8. And we just, you know, we do 1 through 8 because it's playoffs, right? So we have Boston, Toronto, Cleveland, Detroit, Milwaukee, Washington, Indiana, and Miami. So with the Western Conference, we got Golden State, Houston, San Antonio, Minnesota, Oklahoma City, Denver, Portland, and New Orleans. Now, Oklahoma City, they've improved their record, but they're not as good as they should be. But these conferences, as far as records, are kind of comparable, right? It's not like the Western Conference is that much better than the Eastern Conference as far as records and things right now. But Cleveland got off to a rough start, but they clawed their way back to third place in the Eastern Conference. You know, Boston is still in first place. My question with Boston being first place in the Eastern Conference is, will Kyrie Irving be able to sustain the things that he's doing over 82 games? Like, because Kyrie got to do a whole lot more this year than he's done in the past 3 years with Cleveland, right? Now, having Al Horford helps, but having Gordon Hayward and Al Horford helps even way more. But even in that, Al Horford has been far in the playoffs. Gordon Hayward hasn't. So you still had to do a little more because you got to teach Gordon Hayward how to be that type of winner, right? But nevertheless, despite that gulf, Boston is still holding on to their first place. But Toronto is on their heels and Cleveland is on their heels. Now, Boston is, their record is 29-10. Toronto is 24-10. Cleveland is 24-12. But we still, no matter what, we still expect Cleveland to go to the finals. So, yeah. Detroit is 20-15. Milwaukee is 19-15. Washington is 20-16. Indiana is 19-17. And Miami is 19-17. In the Eastern Conference, Golden State is 29-8. Houston is 25-9. San Antonio is 25-12. Minnesota is 22-14. Oklahoma is 20-16. Denver is 19-17. Portland is 18-17. New Orleans is 18-18. See, New Orleans could be a whole lot better, man. They get involved some better perimeter players. They could be a whole lot better. Because Cousins and Davis is asked to do a lot. Right? So this is where the NBA is right now. And moving forward, past Christmas, so they had Christmas games, and I'll kind of give you an update on what happened during Christmas, so you can be up on that, because you know how people like them Christmas scores and all that stuff there, so that you know what happened on Christmas, on December 25th. All right, so the 76ers played the Knicks in the first game, and the Knicks lost to the 76ers 105-98. Joel Embiid had 25-16. The Cavs lost to the Warriors 92-99. Draymond Green pulled off a triple double. The Washington Wizards beat the Boston Celtics, and the Wizards outscored the Celtics 21-8 over the final 5 minutes and 49 seconds of the game. Houston Rockets lost to the actual Oklahoma City Thunder 112-107. Westbrook, George, and Anthony combined for 75 points. That's good. That's good. They're finding their place. They're getting better. Minnesota Timberwolves beat the Lakers, and they ended. The Wolves took control of the game with a 16-1 run in the fourth quarter that helped them get that victory over the Lakers. So that's actually what happened during Christmas Day. Like I said, I go more in depth into the NBA when we get past the All-Star game. Now, one thing I do want to talk about, NBA topic, is people keep talking about KD versus Durant. KD versus Durant. KD versus Durant. Like, is Kevin Durant better than LeBron James? No, he's not. I'm going to go ahead and answer that for you now. No, he's not. First of all, let's be real. LeBron James is asked to do so much more than what Kevin Durant is asked to do. What LeBron James has to do for it, because LeBron James is way more valuable to his team than Kevin Durant is to his team. First of all, Kevin Durant's team doesn't need him to be a good team. They don't need him to be a championship team because they already won the championship without him. They won the championship. Cleveland won the championship. Now, Golden State was able to come back. Having Kevin Durant put Golden State over the top of Cleveland last year because they have more superstars. 3-on-4, right? And it was really more like a 3-on-2. And I don't want to discount Kevin Love, but, you know. But Kevin Durant is not, all Kevin Durant has to do is just score and play defense. Like, he can do all of that. He's not asked to do anything special. Kevin Durant is not even the best defender on his team. Klay Thompson is the best perimeter defender, and Draymond Green is the best overall defender. Draymond Green is the most valuable player on that team. Everybody knows that. I'm not saying when I say Draymond's the best, I don't mean he has the best talent, but Draymond is the best overall, all around, and most valuable player on that team. He is. That's just what it is. You might not like it, but that's what it is. Draymond Green is the most valuable player on that Golden State Warriors team. But people keep saying that Kevin Durant is better than him now. Kevin Durant is playing good ball. Kevin Durant can play free. But why wasn't Kevin Durant able to put Oklahoma on his shoulders and do more with Oklahoma City if he's just this good? If he's better than LeBron now. And we're talking about what? How many years? 11 years versus 15 years, right? Kevin Durant, I think, what? Been in the league since, what, 2008? Yeah. So about 11 years versus 15 years. Right? LeBron James has 3 championships. KD finally got his. LeBron James has been in the playoffs 12 years. Kevin Durant, 7. LeBron James has been in 13 All-Star games. Kevin Durant, 8. LeBron James has been league MVP 4 times. Kevin Durant, 1. LeBron James Finals MVP 3 times. Kevin Durant, 1. NBA All-First Team, LeBron James, 11. Kevin Durant, 5. NBA All-Teams Total Selections, LeBron James, 13. Kevin Durant, 7. And I'm not saying this to say, because Kevin Durant, a lot of these things are going to improve for him, especially playing on the Warriors. Things are going to improve for Kevin Durant. So I'm not saying Kevin Durant ain't up there. Kevin Durant is one of the top 5 players in the game, but I just don't think you can mention or compare any other player to LeBron. Kevin Durant is the closest to be compared, but Kevin Durant not on LeBron level. He just not. LeBron has 5 all NBA defensive first teams. He has 5. All defensive teams, period. LeBron James has 5, has 6 all defensive team, period. Kevin Durant is 0 in both categories, all defensive first teams and all defensive teams. Kevin Durant has led the league in scoring 4 times, LeBron once. They both were Rookie of the Year. LeBron James is scoring is not the strength of his game, but he actually is averaging 0.1 point more than Kevin Durant. They're both averaging 27. Kevin Durant 27.1, LeBron 27.2. Rebounds, LeBron 7.3, Kevin Durant 7.1. Assists, LeBron 7.1, Kevin Durant 3.9. Steals, LeBron 1.6, KD 1.2. Blocks, KD 1.1, LeBron 0.8. Now they want to talk, now they've gone in and this is looking at total careers and things. But just look at all the intangibles. LeBron makes his teams better. If you take Kevin Durant and put him on Cleveland, and you take LeBron and put him on Golden State, nobody would ever expect Golden State to lose anything if LeBron was on Golden State. If Kevin Durant was on Cleveland, Cleveland will even lose some of the prestige because we don't know if Kevin Durant can carry a team to the championship. Kevin Durant became a part of a team who was already a championship team. We already had that chemistry. All he had to do was score. Just score the ball. You're going to get the ball because they spread the ball to score. And you're not asked to do as much as other superstars. So Kevin Durant, stop that trying to act like, you good now. Don't get it twisted. You good, but stop. You're not saying this. I'm not going to say you're saying this. But all the other people, Kevin Durant is not a better player than LeBron James. He's not. Not right now. Is he in the ballpark? Yeah, he's in the ballpark. Hey, LeBron James is in his 15th year. But guess what? Even in his 15th year, LeBron James is still head and shoulders, clearly the best player, best all-around player in the NBA. He is. Total points over careers. LeBron 29.788. Kevin Durant 19.950. Total rebound. And once again, LeBron been in the league longer. But total rebounds, LeBron 8,001, Kevin Durant 5,254. Total assists, LeBron James is killing him, 7,792, Kevin Durant 2,831. Total steals, LeBron James 1,805, Kevin Durant 865. Total blocks, Kevin Durant 809. Even though Kevin Durant averages more blocks, LeBron James has more blocks. Kevin Durant 809, LeBron 854. Total games, LeBron James played 1,097 games. Kevin Durant played 735 games. So we have to come back and revisit this in some years. Field goal, LeBron James has a high field goal percentage at 503. Kevin Durant is 488. 3-point percentage, percentage, Kevin Durant is 3.80, LeBron is 3.44. Free throw percentage, Kevin Durant is 8.82, LeBron James is 7.41. LeBron averaged 31 points a game, and this is their best season. This is their best season. This, I'm going to stop at this. Kevin Durant's best season, he averaged 32 points a game in 2014. LeBron James' best season, he averaged 31 points a game in 2006. Kevin Durant, rebounds per game, averaged 8.3 2017. LeBron James, 8.6 2017. Assists per game, Kevin Durant, 5.5 2014. LeBron James, 9.2 2018. Steals per game, Kevin Durant, 1.4 2013. LeBron James, 2.2 in 2005. Blocks per game, Kevin Durant, 2.2 in 2018. LeBron James, 1.1 in 2009. So they both are great players. They both are great players, but LeBron James is a better player than Kevin Durant. So just to give you a quick update on our champions from our world of sports, right? So, Let me find my stuff, my hockey. So ice hockey, in the NHL. Well, first of all, we know that the Clemson Tigers, you know, Clemson won the national championship. We know the Patriots won the Super Bowl. Who won hockey? Let me see. The Penguins. Yeah, the Pittsburgh Penguins. My bad. Pittsburgh Penguins won hockey. But the Houston Astros won baseball. The Golden State Warriors won in NBA. College basketball. Who won college basketball? See, that's how much we pay attention to college basketball, right? We don't even really remember who won this college basketball. I'm trying to find the college basketball, but end of the year, wrapping up this whole sports year, moving into 2018 with what we got going on in sports, man. All I know is black people. Let's do something different when it comes to sports. Let's not be pimped anymore by these sports, right? Let's make sure that we're owning. Like, shout out to LeVar Ball and the Ball family for being owners of their own destiny. That's one of the good things, or the most entertaining things about this past year, was the Ball family. The Ball family going out there and making things happen, like. Now, a lot of that stuff was crazy, but one time for the Ball family going out there doing their thing, making things happen, and not just sitting around letting people just take advantage of them. Just I don't know, man. Just one time for the Ball family, man. Because people talk bad about them. But, North Carolina won the NCAA championships basketball. North Carolina, they beat Gonzaga 71-65. So these are the things that happened this past, a couple of things that happened this past 2017, man. Just a little ghetto, little roundup. I ain't trying to go too deep in it. Just a little ghetto roundup. But shout out to the Ball family. I really thank the Ball family. Just the mindset, it's more so the mindset than anything. The mindset of we're going to own our own path. Black America, that's how we should think. We are owning our own paths. Nobody can tell us what to do. Nobody can keep us down. Nobody can stop us because we own our own paths, and we ain't taking no bull from nobody because we're in control. That's our 2017 mantra and motto and mindset is we own our own paths. We own everything in 2018. Moving forward, we are in control, and we ain't taking nothing from nobody. All right? That's what we got to understand. So one time for all the teams and the clubs who won championships in 2017. One time for everybody who reached their goals. Not just teams, but individuals who reached their goals. Hey, man. Roll into 2018 on some real nigga shit. Let me say this. Nah, I'm playing. Roll into 2018 being real. Roll into it. Don't try to begin. Being great in 2018, Make your greatness roll into 2018. And if 2018 is the beginning of your journey, be great from the beginning. Be great from the beginning. But now y'all know what time it is. So I always got to end my show. Last segment of my show is my weekly rant. And these Dallas Cowboys, y'all getting it this day. Y'all getting this weekly rant. You got to get it. Jerry Jones, fuck you. You's a bitch. Jason Garrett, you's a bitch. Dez Bryant, you's a bitch. Dallas defense, y'all some hoes. Right? What happened this year? What happened? Like, Zeke didn't miss the whole year. Zeke only missed six games. We went 3-3 in that. So he went 500. I'm ranting because we didn't make the playoffs again. We didn't make the playoffs again. The Dallas Cowboys only have 2 playoff wins since 1996. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 playoff appearances since 1996. 8 playoff appearances since 1996. 2 playoff victories since 1996. I was 12. I'm 33. About to turn 34. The last time we had great, like a real playoff run, like some real success in the playoff. And those 2 victories were wild card victories. So we lost in the divisional round. Like 2014, we beat the Detroit Lions. I mean, the 2014 playoffs, we beat the Detroit Lions. And we lost to the Green Bay Packers in the divisional round. Last year, we lost to the Green Bay Packers in the divisional round after we had the first round back. 2010, we beat the Philadelphia Eagles in the wild card, but lost to the Minnesota Vikings in the divisional round. But other than that, we lost to the Giants in 2008. We lost to the Seahawks in 2007. Shout out to Tony Romo. We lost to the Panthers in 2004. We lost to the Vikings in 2000. We lost to the Cardinals in 2009. In 96, we had a divisional loss. We beat the Vikings in the divisional round, and we beat the Panthers, and we lost to the Panthers. That was 96. So between 1996 to 2009, from 96 to 2009, that wouldn't stretch without a playoff victory. But we've only had 2 playoff victories since 1996. Fuck you, Dallas Cowboys. It's ridiculous, man. It's like we find a way to self-destruct every freaking year. We don't want to be champions. Jerry Jones really don't want to be champions. Jerry Jones don't care about winning rings. I hate you, Jerry Jones. I fucking hate you, Jerry Jones. You look like you dipped your face in acid, Jerry Jones. You look like the Crypt Keeper. You look like you rub your face in asshole every day, Jerry Jones. You do. I fucking hate you, Jerry Jones. You are, and when it comes to football one-on-one, you are incompetent. Now, I get it. Okay, Dallas Cowboys is the most profitable franchise in sports. I get it. But damn, can we win? Do you care about when, like, you constantly are trying to go after the wrong draft picks? Jason Garrett, grow some nuts. Be more than a cheerleader, a clapper. Dez Bryant, take that damn 88 off. Take that 88 off, Dez. I'll fight you, Dez. Take that 88 off. Take it off. You do not deserve to wear number 88. You are disappointing and you are disgracing the number 88 in Dallas. You are a disgrace, Dez Bryant. You do not deserve to be wearing 88. You can't even catch the ball. And let me tell you what this sucker-ass nigga did, man. Let me tell you what sucker-ass Dez Bryant did. They asking Dez Bryant, because I think Dallas should cut Dez. I think they should just cut him. But Dez is going to be asked to take a pay cut coming up soon. And he's already said that he's not taking the pay cut. Dez Bryant, you do not deserve number one receiver money. You ain't been doing nothing to get – you can't catch the ball. You can't catch the ball. The last game against the Seahawks, Dez caught the ball, decided to run with the ball as if it was a loaf of bread. Maxwell from the Seahawks just put his setup. He didn't even try to tackle Dez. He didn't even try to tackle the man. He put his setup and punched the ball out. Fumble. The next time the ball touched Dez, he didn't catch the ball. It bounced off his hands. It's an interception. Dez Bryant, you suck. You're not good anymore. You suck. Jerry Jones, you suck. Jason Garrett, I'm going on you because you was a bitch, Jerry Jones. I mean, Jason Garrett. Jerry Jones, you was a bitch. So I'm going to come back to you last, Jerry Jones. You get it last. Jason Garrett, you suck as a coach. You are horrible as a coach. You're not good as an NFL coach with this type of team. You cannot just be a yes man. We don't need a yes. Yes men don't win championships. If you just want to be a middle-of-the-road coach, cool. Go do that on somebody else's team. Don't do that on my team. And Jerry Jones, I hate you because that's the type of coach you want. What grown man don't want to win? I understand you getting your money, and that's probably why you don't really give a damn, because you're getting your money. So, Jerry Jones, fuck you, man. I hope your penis falls. I hope you get an STD and your penis fall off. I hope you get lymphogranuloma venereum. And that's like a bacterial infection, a flesh-eating bacteria. I hope you get lymphogranuloma venereum and your penis fall off, because you look like you already got it on your face. You already look like you've been eating booty and got some booty acid on your face, and that's why because you got all that money and your face look like you got booty acid on it, and that horrible hair that you got. You got that Jimbo Fisher comb over thing going over, Jerry Jones. You suck, man. You suck. You old and you suck and you stupid and you suck. And I hope you get an STD. Cause as far as running a team, as far as helping your franchise be successful, as far as wins, no. Money, yes. Money, yes. You're able to build a new stadium that brings them more money and all these things. So, Dallas, so, you know, you get your money. But as far as football, like, you have too much control over something that you know nothing about. It's clear. It's clear because the only championships you got were because of Jimmy Johnson. Those were Jimmy's players. That was Jimmy fighting. Those were Jimmy's players. Even the one Barry Switzer won. Even the one Barry Switzer won in 95. Even the one Barry Switzer won. Those were Jimmy players. We've had a large sample size to see of what Jerry do under Jerry. No Jimmy players, just Jerry. And it hasn't been good. We haven't won. Since 1996. Even in 96, the playoff run that we had in 96, those were still Jimmy Johnson's players. We haven't won with Jerry's players. Two playoff victories with Jerry's players. You fucking suck, man. You suck. You suck. You suck. As a supporter of the Dallas Cowboys, I'm very frustrated. Once again, we don't make the playoffs. Once again, we're going to basically end the season at 8-8. Once again, a middle-of-the-road team. Once again, like, God damn, dog, can we do something different? Can we get something different? Can we be different? Can we really make a real playoff run? Can you get a coach in who you were actually allowed to coach? How do you hire somebody and don't want them to coach? How do you hire a head coach and don't want them to be successful? How do you do that? Why do you do that? Like, what's going on? Fire yourself, Jerry. Fire yourself from everything that has to do with the Dallas Cowboys. Sell the team. My goal, I hate Jerry Jones so much. My goal since I was 12 years old has been to get enough money to become a billionaire and buy the Dallas Cowboys away from Jerry Jones. That has literally been my goal since I was 12 years old, to accumulate $1 billion so I can buy the Dallas Cowboys from Jerry Jones and make them a winning franchise again. And that's still part of my goal. I still want to build a black league, but if I can just take something from Jerry Jones and shit on him, I fucking hate you, Jerry Jones. Damn, I hate you. You suck. Yo, everything about you suck, man. Yo, Your family sucked, man. I take that back. Because some of the other Joneses is trying to work against him. But Jerry, you suck, man. Everything, your tie suck, your shirt suck, your neck suck, them liver spots, them herpes, gonorrhea spots you got on your face, they suck, that half suck. You was a bitch, you was a crack-ass cracker, too. You was a crack-ass cracker, too, Jerry. So I take that back. Your family do suck, because y'all is some crack-ass crackers. Because you one of the main ones out there that's trying to thwart, and I did use thwart, that's trying to thwart the protests that the players were taking. So fuck you, Jerry Jones. I hope you get a serious venereal bloodborne pathogenic disease and then fuck up your whole life. Your penis fall off. Hope your anus prolapse. I hope you get acid reflux mixed with syphilis in your throat and just be throwing up blood and chicken grease every day. I hope that happens to you, Jerry Jones, because I hate you. I hope you get like internal genital warts and everything, and it just mess your system up, man. I hope you get diarrhea every day out your mouth. I hope bile starts to flow out of your mouth, Jerry Jones. That's how much I don't like you. I hate everything about you. I know your breath smells like asshole. I know it, dude. It got to. I hate everything about you. Only thing that saves you is all the money you got. You cracker ass cracker, Jerry. That's how much I hate you. I sneeze on you, Jerry. One more time. I sneeze on you, Jerry, and when you die, I want to pee on your grave. I spit on you, Jerry. I spit on you. I hate you, man. Everything about you, you're a horrible person, a horrible owner, and you bad for sports. Make me sneeze. Just talking about you make me sneeze. I spit on you, Jerry. Sucker ass Jerry Jones, man. You was a bitch, Jerry. You was a bitch. A cold bitch, too. You ain't no hot bitch. You a cold bitch. You like the old piece of bread that been in the back of the refrigerator. I'm allergic to Jerry Jones. That's why I'm sneezing. You like the old piece of bread, that old end of bread that's in the back of the refrigerator that don't nobody eat. Nobody want to fuck with you, Jerry Jones, man. Jason Garrett, you ain't no man. And that's all I want to say about that. Fuck you, Dallas Cowboys. Once again, fuck you. But we will win the Super Bowl in 2018. See how I do all that? But fuck you, Jerry Jones, man. I hate you, man, since I was 12 years old. Well, I had two playoff victories since I was 12 years old. You ain't shit. Man, that's all I got to say about that. This is the Fix Sports Podcast. This is December 31st, 2017, the last show of this calendar year. And I say calendar year because it's the dead of winter. You'll never have a new year in the dead of winter. Y'all better get your mind right and start reading. The new year really happens in spring. That's the real new year. But this is the end of the calendar year. And, man, you know, we got to do it how we do. We got to end it with a bang. So, fuck you, Jerry Jones. Fuck you, Dez Bryant. Fuck you, Jason Garrett and all the haters. Hey, man, it's been real. Fuck you, Charles Barkley. Yep. Fuck you, Harvey Weinstein. Jerry Richardson. Jerry Jones. All you cracker-ass crackers. Fuck y'all. Shout out to my black people. Black America. Let's start using sports to better our community. And let's be the pimps and make sports our hope. Let's do that and roll into 2018 on some real shit. Roll into it on some real shit. Don't wait till tomorrow. Be like, oh, I'm going to start this and I'm going to be live. Roll into it on some real shit. And if you're just now starting your journey, salute to you. Be great. Be great from the beginning. Be great. Don't let nobody tell you how to do you or what to do for you. Do you, be great, and follow your heart, follow your dreams, and be the best. And, hey, man, you know how we do. It's the Fix Sports Podcast. It's the Freedom Train Network. Want to send shouts out to everybody. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. I hope y'all had safe and gracious and joyous and blessed holidays and New Year's. I wish y'all many blessings, much success, and everything moving forward in the future. And, man, this is how we get down, man. So Hey, I holla. Yeah. I'm the realest.
I am the greatest.
I call the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back Jack. And it is 4-1.
One on ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm